What's going on, everybody? I'm Marah.
And I'm Tez.
And welcome back to Sisters Who Kill.
What you gonna say?
I don't know. I don't know. No good deed goes unpunished. No act of charity goes unresented. No good deed goes unpunished. That's my new creed.
Our players this week are Oakley Mitchell, our victim, Rayshawn Johnson, Vashawn's boyfriend and accomplice, and Vashawn Mills, our murderess.
Vashawn K. Mills was born on March 23rd, 1989, to her mother, Darlene Graves. It says that she grew up with an unstable father figure, so I don't know if that means that she ain't got no daddy or she got a whole host of stepdaddies, but that's what our sources said. After she graduated from high school, she had the aspiration to work in the medical field. She loved helping people. I feel like she connected with older people and people that were in need. She just had a really giving heart. And so she decided that her best course of action was to get a nurse's aide certificate so that she could eventually get into nursing school. Now, when she was 19 years old, she got married. Her man was in the military. It seemed like this nice, happy, cute life. But they were young and they wanted different things. And 4 years later, with two daughters in tow, they got a divorce. But no worries, because Vashawn definitely seemed like the person that had a good head on her shoulders. She wanted to start working as soon as possible as a CNA so that she could really focus on nursing school. It's time for her to get into like big up mommy mode, time to provide for these children. And so while she was working as a CNA, she met a man. And his name was Rayshawn, and the two of them started to have a little thing.
We got a thing.
Boom, boom, boom.
Going on.
Doo-doo, doo-doo.
Rayshawn Lamar Johnson was born on May 12th of 1990. He's originally from Indianapolis, and some sources say that he had a little psychological issues growing up. Whatever it was, it caused him to be very defensive. He's always feeling like somebody trying to disrespect him and ain't nobody finna talk to me like that and da da da. Like a nigga just be trying to make a joke, like, what are those? And he'd be like, fuck you say to me? And it's like, relax. Relax, okay? You know them was nobody sitting here fucking around with those or you stepping out in it. Relax. We all having good fun.
Why did you go to this man's shoes? Who you been roasting lately? Are you talking about me?
It didn't even necessarily have to be his shoes. It could be his pants. It could be whatever. But this nigga, a nigga make a yo mama joke and he be like, don't talk about my mama. Like, nigga, we just playing a dozen, so chill.
It seemed like that was also his way in high school, probably with teachers too. Like, I don't want to take instruction. Why are you disrespecting me? No, I am guiding you towards the place to go.
Right, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my mama. One of them types. Like, nigga, I don't want to be your mom either, because God bless her.
Rust me.
My bad. I done got all in this nigga.
I just want to know why you just gave it his man's shoes. Nothing in our source material talks about his shoes. I just want everybody to know.
Listen, he was wearing Fila's in that gap year of, like, 2015, when they, like, that 2010 to really, like, 2016.
All right, now I feel personally attacked.
Mm-mm. See, this is why you had to list the years, because Fila tried to make a comeback. And I ain't even going to say the Fila's was for everybody. But if you put the right fit together, you can make it work. He was just out of style, still wearing Fat Farm and shit. That's what it's giving. Like, when a nigga couldn't afford something growing up, and then he can finally afford it, but the reason you can afford it is because it no longer is worth anything. Like, you talk about you decked out in Echo Red. Like, nigga, don't nobody care. It's Echo Red.
You wearing USPA. I just want to know that none of our source material roast.
He wearing USPA talking about I got polo. So they are not the same. Rayshawn, he grew up, he got married. things didn't work out too well in that marriage. He got a divorce. We don't have years for this, please excuse me. But he did go on to work as a CNA at a local home care facility. Now, him and his wife, they didn't have any children, so it was just he and himself running these streets. Now, at this CNA facility, he meets Vashon. He was like, I'm Rayshawn. And she was like, oh, word, I'm Vashon. He was like, okay, Rayshawn, Vashon, we can get it going on. And they like that. They started kicking it a little harder, a little harder. And this flirting turned into dating. And this dating turned into we go together. We go together. We go together turned into it's been a couple of weeks. Meet my kids. Here's the key to the house. Come by whenever. I want to see you all the time. It's probably because that nigga had no address to claim. Rayshawn, he ain't mine. That Vashon had two kids already. They came from her ex-husband, but that was the past. He the future. And he was showering Vashon and her kids with gifts. I love y'all. Y'all my family. I just want to see us grow together and be a unit. But this unit needed structure, i.e. he was controlling. She wasn't allowed to have any male friends outside of him. He the only man she need in her life. Now, at this time, Vashon, she's living in Indianapolis, Indiana. She's making her way if she can. He comes over. But Rayshawn said, this ain't good enough, you know? I need to see more of you. So after 6 months, he was like, listen, pack up you and the girls. You come and live with me. Come move into my place with my mom.
With my mother. You asked this woman to pack up the home that she pays rent, and she is the head of the household, to move in with you and your mama. To move in with your mama and you.
And so then I tried to give this nigga the benefit of the doubt, right?
Did you?
I did. I really did. And I said, maybe he take care of his mama. Maybe.
Because he was a CNA.
You know what I'm saying? Like, circle of life. Your parents care for you. You care for your parents. She's probably getting elderly. Or you just a mama's boy, as many of these niggas are. Or you just be like, yo, I'm going to retire my mama. I'm going to take care of her. She ain't going to have to worry about nothing. On that type of energy. Especially since you over here trying to take over a whole family of three. And that's not including you. Like, you're taking over the family of three to turn y'all into a family of four plus one because your mama. So maybe he just got it like that. And she was like, you know what? I will come live with you and your mama. So she moves to Bloomington, Illinois, which is 3 hours away from her friends and family, left her job, took her kids out of school.
I can't.
To put them in a whole new school in a whole new state. Girl, just to move them to the projects. Put their asses in the PJs in an apartment. Ain't no space. They all up on top of each other. And she had to give up her job. She ain't working at the time. Now you got five people in this little bitty ass apartment in the hood.
Girl, get up. Get up.
Times is hard. 5 mouths is a lot to feed. So, of course, they both had to get to work. They weren't able to find jobs in their field immediately. Don't know what happened to Rayshawn's job or how the fuck he lost it. But he ends up getting a customer service job. And Vashon, she continues to look for something CNA. Overall, her goal was to go back and get in nursing school so she can move up out his mama house. Girl, you gave it all up. You had your own spot and everything to move in with a nigga and his mama in the projects. And now you trying to make enough money to move out his mama house. At that point, nigga, you should have just been like, let's move and get a space together. Like, I'm going to take care of my mama here, and then we can combine funds and move in.
Making me think, like, what happened to her money?
And see, this is what's making me think that this is a nigga that wear Echo Reds.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Is it not tracking? Come on now. Do you see it now?
Okay.
Just because they was broke didn't mean that they know how to have a good time. Because, girl, you could find Vashon and Rayshawn down at the bingo games. Now, actually, this is probably bingo at, like, a healthcare facility, like, or something like that. Maybe, like, they finally got a job back in their field. Or maybe he did this in addition to customer service. But I'm thinking with them,
like, old people
night. It's giving old folks night. And y'all worked at CNA. Y'all did, like, senior living centers and shit. It's giving y'all picked up somewhere. And at
it's not given they picked up somewhere. It's given that they were going there looking for clients.
If you are at a senior living facility, you don't need a CNA because they are staffed with nurses that are on call the whole time. They needed to be there looking for a job because these people are not looking for clients.
I think it was like the community center, old people's night.
Maybe senior night at the community center, at the rec, the local Y. Okay.
Maybe not senior night, maybe just bingo night, because that would make more sense of why they were there, because I love me some bingo, and I will go to a bingo night at the community center if I got nothing to do.
I, too, love me some bingo. I've been gambling my life away playing bingo.
All right, Tassie.
Listen.
Tassie is soon going to be able to explain to y'all how people get addicted to losing their money.
The slippery slope. Got all this energy. I've got to put it somewhere. It's my decompressor. But at this bingo night, they met Mr. Oakley Thomas Mitchell.
That's right. Oakley Thomas Mitchell was born on December 24th, 1938 in St. Joseph, Missouri, right on Christmas Eve. I am so happy that I do not have a December birthday because I will expect double presents.
Yeah, I barely got double presents and I'm in November. I was like, Christmas is around the corner. Stop playing with me.
God knew what to do. His parents' names were Oakley Elmer Mitchell and Virginia May Abels. He had an older sister. Her name was Geneva May Mitchell, and she actually passed away in 2006. He lived a pretty good life. And he had two younger brothers, Wayne Mitchell and James Irwin Mitchell. He also had three half-sisters, Janice, Tess, and Emma. Now, when he was a young man, lad, he was in the U.S. Navy. He enjoyed serving for his country. He ended up getting married to a woman named Alice Faye McLaughlin Croner. What a name.
What a name.
Yeah, what a name. Yeah. They did have three children together, and they ended up divorcing later on down the road. His three children's names are Charles Mitchell, Darlene Mitchell, and Thomas Mitchell. After he retired from the Navy, he worked as a millwright for more than 30 years at Caterpillar Inc. He was a union member. He was known for being very active in the union. He was also a member of Lay Baptist Ministries. He enjoyed playing bingo. I know that's right. Fishing. And
that's what I'm trying to do when I get old.
All I want
to
do is play bingo.
I just want to be at bingo night.
And listen, you can gamble because money at the end.
You know what I mean?
I love bingo.
I'm done.
Let us know if you love bingo.
Making my way to the end.
B, 42.
B is going to be lower, like a 1.
Oh, you're right.
15.
Okay. He was very involved in his community. He served as the Woodford County Democratic chairman, and he actually attended Bill Clinton's inauguration and got to take a picture with him, which I was able to find his picture of him and Bill Clinton. He also owned a lot of land, and he was very proud of this land, especially as a young guy. He had a farm, and then from there, he also made a community garden for everybody that was around. And he did... This is so sad because, like me, living the hippie wanderer lifestyle, this is what I've seen as an option for a lot of people that want to travel, especially traveling by van. And I want to do it myself when I get older. But he has a huge plot of land. A lot of it needs to be worked on. There are a lot of things to do. It's acres and acres and acres. Some of that is forest. So making trails, helping out with the cattle, helping out with whatever you have. And so people will go and they'll stay at your place and they can stay there for free in exchange for labor. And that's how a lot of like outdoorsy communities are made. And I always thought that was very cool, especially when I was fantasizing about traveling the world via van. And once I have a big plot of land on my own. But apparently he did something very similar to that. When people were down on their luck, he was like, hey, you can come stay at my place in exchange for room and board. I need help around the house. And that was great for the people that needed just a place to stay, a warm roof, a hot meal, and not a lot of stress. And apparently he helped a lot of people get on their feet in those ways. But in 2011, he was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, which is an incurable autoimmune disease. And it basically causes extreme muscle fatigue. Once he was diagnosed with that, you know how it seems like once you're diagnosed with something, everything just starts failing faster and faster and faster. Mm-hmm. Soon after that, he had to start using a wheelchair. He wasn't able to keep up with his farm as much as he wanted to before. He wasn't able to get out and be mobile, be around the city as much as he was before. And when people drove by his once perfectly manicured lawn, they saw that it was constantly overgrown and he needed to mow his lawn and everything was looking bad, which is crazy because if you know that I'm sick and you see that my lawn is overgrown, why would you tell the news after I'm dead that my lawn was overgrown? Why wouldn't you come and cut it for me? I think that's shady.
What'd you say? Don't speak on my behalf if you ain't got nothing nice to say.
And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So here it is. It's 2013. I'm not sure the day, but he is at the community center playing bingo. And of course, he meets Rayshawn and Vashon, like Tassie told you. And that night, Vashon and Oakley, they just got to talking, chit-chatting, almost like they were old friends. I think Vashon also had like a very calmness and familiarity around old people. I really feel it's that way for me. Throughout that evening, they got comfortable enough with each other that Vashon started telling Oakley all of her business.
Mr. Mitchell, he's explaining to Vashon, listen, you don't have to stress out about this bum ass nigga not taking care of you. I got this big house. Maybe we could work a deal out and I can help you and your family. I love to help people. I'm old. I can use the company. You're a CNA. You could help me around the house. And we can find a way to make this beneficial for the both of us. And she was like, but what about Rayshawn? And he was like, you know me. I think you deserve better. But yeah, he's got space enough for him. Push, come to shove, he can just stay out back. I've got a...
an outhouse. Not an outhouse. He's got
guest
like a,
house.
It's like a guest barn house.
Right.
It's not
like
bad.
He's giving guest house on the farm.
Everybody says out back.
Yeah, he can stay out
there.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call it, is out back. He can stay out back. This nigga not staying out back in the woods or nothing, but he can stay out back. But Sean was ecstatic about this, okay? Because I'm tired of my babies living in the hood. You talk about here, they ain't got to share a room with me. I ain't got to hear.
You on the white folks side of town? Absolutely.
I ain't got to see Rayshawn mama every damn morning. Just sitting there looking a mess in front of my face, and I can't tell her that she always got food stuck on the side of her teeth because I'm trying to be respectful in her house, but it's disgusting the way she be smacking her gums and mouth all open while she eat. So she was very excited about this offer. But of course, I'm going to have to talk it over with Rayshawn and see what he say. It's 2 weeks into when Vashon and Rayshawn met Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Oakley Mitchell. Everything's solidified. They packed their shit up and they go on to the farm. Now, in the beginning, everything is super smooth. How could it not be, right? The girls got space. Vashon got space. She working. Mr. Mitchell, he's getting the help that he needs. She's driving him around town. She keep the house clean, help bathe him, and even put his PJs on and tuck him in at night. Now, Mr. Mitchell, he doesn't really seem to have a problem with Vashon and the girls being there, but it feels like the longer Rayshawn there, the more he'd rather him just stay out back. Probably because Rayshawn got a mouth on him and he all insecure and shit. And he be hearing the way Rayshawn talked to Vashon. And he don't like that because Vashon's a sweet young lady. And she doesn't deserve that. That's how he feels. And things are working out for Vashon. She's really liking this setup. But Rayshawn doesn't like not being in charge anymore. He can't say, this is my house no more. It's Oakley house. And it's like, she used to go to work and come home and it's all about me, but now her work is her home. And damn, it's she spend more time taking care of that nigga than she doing me. Imagine. Taking care of the nigga providing for you as opposed to what? What the fuck are you doing? And to make matters worse, Mr. Mitchell, he ain't hide the fact that he ain't like Rayshawn. He says straight to his face, he don't give no damn. The only reason you here is for a favor of Rayshawn, because she wants you here for whatever reason. And Rayshawn ain't like none of this. And then he be trying to get in Vashon's face and say whatever. And Mr. Mitchell be like, son, don't do that.
When you was at your mama's house and you was raising your voice to her, your mama ain't say nothing to you? Because you seem very comfortable.
Mm-mm. Because I bet he was raising his voice at his mama, too.
I bet he was.
And then, to make matters worse for Rayshawn, it's like once he start getting into it with Mr. Mitchell, Vashon walking her ass away. Damn, I ain't in it. I ain't in it. Like, girl, you the whole reason we fucking arguing. And you ain't gonna have my back?
Shoot, you ain't gonna have nobody's back?
That's defensive shit we was talking about. No, because if she get Mr. Mitchell back, her ass probably getting beat. She said it's best to just be quiet.
She probably just trying to shuffle the girls to the next room so they don't have to be a witness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when things got real bad, Mr. Mitchell would put Rayshawn out. Like, across the line, you gonna sleep out back tonight. But I'm sure that was an ego check for Rayshawn every time. Like,
this white man telling me I'm sleeping out back.
Right. Nigga, like, you gonna put my whole family in the house. Da, 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 da. He probably insecure. You got my girl giving you baths and shit. She only give me baths. The fuck should you be washing your dick for? Like, making it about something that it's
if
not.
If I was Oakley, I'd be like, they're not, this ain't your family. Them not your kids. But that's me if I was Mr. Oakley.
They my kids now. I run all this shit.
This my house.
You probably trying to claim them on taxes, too.
Not on their taxes. What? I just caught it. What? Tazzy, you're out of pocket today.
He said, these my kids now. I said, he probably trying to claim them on the taxes.
What'd you eat for lunch today? You're out of pocket. So the arguments between Oakley and Rayshawn have been getting worse and worse every single day. And here it is. It's Thursday, August 1st. 2013. Vashawn, she goes upstairs. She's checking on her girls. She's getting ready for them to go to bed at night. And then she goes downstairs because it's time for her to help Oakley. And she's like, hey, Oakley, you ready for bed? And he's like, no, I'm at my computer. I'm not quite ready yet. Go finish doing what you got to do and make a light back to me. She's like, okay, cool. I'll finish. Make sure the girls are straight. She goes back upstairs, checks on her girls again, and starts getting herself ready for bed. And then Rayshawn enters the home. Rayshawn goes to where Vashawn is while she's getting herself ready. She's in the bathroom. And he's like, hey, listen, shawty. Stay in this bathroom. Do not leave it. Walks out, shuts the door. She's like, what? She stays in the bathroom. Next thing she knows, she hears 5 gunshots. This scares her. And she runs out of the bathroom. And she looks inside the office of where Oakley was sitting. And he is slumped over his desk. And Rayshawn is holding a gun, pacing, just pacing back and forth, almost panicking still, but also like very heated, back and forth, back and forth. She gets scared. She runs upstairs again. She makes sure the kids are still asleep. And Rayshawn is like, I know you saw me come back down here. She comes back down and he's like, all right, I need you to help clean this up. She's like, why did you do this? He was disrespecting me. What? This was a nice man. Why would you do this? He's like, hey, I don't want to talk about it. It's time to clean up the scene. We got to get ready. And she's like, okay, okay. And he's like, pick up them shell casings. Okay, okay, okay. So she starts picking up the shell casings. And then Rayshawn, I guess he already had a little idea because he goes out back and he starts making himself a nice big old fire pit. He takes Oakley. Oakley is sitting in his wheelchair. He grabs Oakley's body by the belt and uses his belt to drag Oakley's dead body from his workspace out into the backyard. There, Rayshawn sets the body on fire, but not before stealing his wallet. Tosses the wallet to Rayshawn, and he's like, all right, get that ATM. We're about to get some money. And that's exactly what she does. She picks both of the girls up. He says, let's get in the car. They get in the car. They drive, go to the ATM, pull out $400 from Oakley's account, check themselves into a hotel, and they hope that they got rid of a body that's burning in the backyard. Boom.
And then what happens?
We know that burning the body takes more than that. And it's really, they burnt the body mm-hmm. and just like, and we're going to drive away into the sunset.
So they come back to the house on August 2nd of 2013. It's like Friday morning. And when they get there, they find Mr. Mitchell's body. Of course they do. Because you can't just put a body out back and set fire to it and think it's going to disappear. It'd be a lot more unsolved murders. His lens and stuff broke off, but very much still a torso. Still, we can identify this as human. And yeah, most of his body is still there. They load up his, what's remaining of his body, the broken off limbs and shit, put it in a truck of Rayshawn's car. Then Vashawn gets in her car and follows behind Rayshawn while driving Mr. Mitchell's car. So Rayshawn is driving over to a bridge. He gets to the bridge and decides he's going to throw Mr. Mitchell's body into the water. But this nigga missed the whole body of water that he was trying to put it in. So then Rayshawn has to go down off the bridge and push his body into the water. And what's remaining is, again, basically like a torso or whatever. But he's pushing this torso, this chunk of a body into whatever body of water they're over. In his mind, Rayshawn thought he was going to disappear his body. And it was going to be like, oh, here's Mr. Mitchell's car. But where is Mr. Mitchell? We don't know. But Rayshawn broke ass. His damn car starts stalling out. And he can't get no fucking where. So he's like, fuck it. Everybody back in Mr. Mitchell's car. We're taking Mr. Mitchell's car out of here. What do we say, guys? Murder's not in the what?
Murder is not in the budget. Get your t-shirt today. ShopSistersWhoKill.com. Murder is not in the budget. You better get it together.
You've got to really think about it. Can you afford to pay your hitman? Can you afford to buy your weapon? Can you afford to drive away from the scene? We just don't know. Think about it. So now, once they leave off this bridge, Vashon takes Rayshon to work because it's just a regular day, right? She drops him off at work. And her girls, they need to decompress. So they go shopping and they get their nails done with the $400 that Mr. Mitchell left them that they stole from his account. Now, once Rayshon got off work, Vashon goes picks him up. The next day, August 3rd, a fisherman is out at the Mackinac River, which is where Rayshon decided to push the body into. And he's fishing and comes across Mr. Mitchell's remains. Of course, he's calling the police. The papers get hot. People are putting out, we done found the body. Dismembered man in the Mackinac River. Rayshon and Vashon, they start, you know, getting their shit together. They decide they gonna go over to Indianapolis to go to Vashon's grandma's house. While they there, they see in the news that somebody done found this body in the river. And they like, oh, shit, the block's getting hot. Now,
what are we gonna do?
Right. So the article comes out. Somebody also comes in and gives an anonymous tip saying that they seen somebody in Mr. Mitchell's car on the bridge around 6:20. Saw another woman, to be exact. As the days go on, more remains are found. So now, Vashon and Rayshon, they get to Vashon's grandma's house. And Vashon's like, Grandma, I got to talk to you. And she's like, what is it, baby? You can tell me anything. Go ahead, tell me. And she was like, oh, my God, you don't believe what Rayshon did? She tells her everything. And Grandma, like,
Grandma, my boyfriend committed murder. Murder? Murder?
The man I was working for killed him. Mad about whatever the fuck. Didn't try to burn the body. It didn't burn. Tried to dump the body. He missed. He pushed it in. His car stalled. He's just fucking up everywhere we go.
I know her grandmother was like, oh, Lord Jesus. Strength. What are you telling me? She like, actually sing a song. Rejoice unto the Lord. To see if... lift him high so that his voice can come low. Good God.
Oh, man. So, Grandma, she was like, listen, don't you worry, baby. Grandma gonna help you through it, all right? So, after they prayed, I'm just sure they prayed. After they prayed, Grandma wanna go talk to Rayshon. She said, son, why? He said, I had to do it. He was disrespecting me, trying to come between me and Vashon. And the Grandma was like, okay. And she went to Vashon and she said, this man ain't got the good sense God gave him. So, Grandma, she tells Rayshon to get his shit. She says, you can't stay here. And she drops him off with a family friend, somebody. Got the hell up out of her house, though. And the next phone call she makes is to Al Watson. He's the detective with the Indianapolis Police Department. Now, Al Watson is a friend of the family, so she trusted him to look out for Rayshon. And she's, don't worry, baby. Grandma gonna make everything all right. She hits up Al. Al hits up the police. They tell the police where Rayshon is at. Police go to this family. That was a setup. She said, you ain't about to come in here and bombard my girl. I'll tell you where he ain't here.
I ain't even mad at it, for real.
Listen, she knew she needed to go to grandma. She knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the police go to the family friend house. And they like, open up. Rayshon, we know you in here. And Rayshon decided it was time to play hide and seek. And that nigga went in the closet and he hid. And they saw them. And they found him in that closet and they arrested him. He ain't put up a fight. He went on and got booked. Now, Grandma brings Vashon up to the police station. She wasn't arrested quite yet, but she was, in fact, taken into custody. And they definitely needed to ask her some questions.
Back at the lab, they were autopsying this figure that they had. And they said that an unspecified clue... because they don't have to tell us everything. An unspecified clue led police to Oakley's house. Now, when they pull up to Oakley's house, surprise, surprise, Oakley's people are already there. Police are like, what are you doing here? And they said, we're looking for our father. What are you doing here? And they said, we're investigating a body. I thought thought to myself, like, if his family was looking, why didn't they see, like, the burn pile? But also, this is a huge farm. So they probably weren't looking at, let's find Dad's burn pile and see if he's in there. You know, that's mm-hmm. wouldn't be their first thought. But they go into the burn pile because the police knew to go look for a burn pile. And that is where they found more of Oakley's remains. Now, here's the thing. His body was found in one county, and the crime, his home, happened in another county. So now we got McLean and Woodford County Sheriff's offices working together. Now listen, Woodford had not had a murder in 7 years. So the police were like trying to do a whole bunch of PR, like, hey,
these niggas ain't even trained for this.
Right. They're like, this is a random act. Everybody is saved. It's okay, white people. We are fine. We are fine. We are fine. They weren't even from here. And that's what people said. They said that the two offices worked seamlessly together. And I really feel like one office didn't know what they were doing and they were just signing their name on the dotted line. When they talked to Vashon, she was in there. She was wearing a purple pink jacket, the zip up cam, pink the brand, a purple one. It was really cute. And some black sweatpants. And when she was in there, she was like, I walked in there. And I was so scared. I was so scared for my life. And I said, why did you do this to this man? He was a good man. He was a good man. Why would you ever do that to him? I was scared, so I helped him. Rashawn, I had to do everything. Now, in Rashawn's interview, he had a totally different story. He said, it did happen, but here's the thing. Vashawn told me to kill him. Yeah, Vashon told me that Oakley said that if she don't suck his dick, then we was gonna have to get out. And she felt like he was making sexual advantages towards her. She told me to kill him. She's like, no, I did. No, I didn't. Yeah, she did. Obviously, both of them were officially arrested on August 7th. And they were charged with multiple counts of first-degree murder, concealment of a homicidal death, and dismemberment of a human body. When they were taken into custody, Vashon was given a bond of $25,025, and Rashawn was given a bond of $100,000. They were put into separate county jails, so Rashawn was in Woodford County, and Vashon was in McLean County, and we're in Illinois, if you guys didn't know. They were sitting in the county jails, and that's when they had to sit with their lawyers and decide if they were going to take a plea or if they were going to take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial,
bitch. Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial. Rashawn, it's not looking good for him. He knows it. We all know it. So he decides to go ahead and plead guilty. The state attorney, Greg Minger, initially asked the judge to give Rashawn 60 years. Rashawn's defense attorney, Andy Langton, asked for a minimum of 45 years. In February, either the 20th or the 13th of 2014, Rashawn had his sentencing. Rashawn does get up there and he apologizes to the family. He says, quote, I understand what I've done and I will accept the full consequences for that. But I'm not worth you walking around with that hatred. I'm not worth walking around with that on your heart. He's like, I want to take full responsibility for the murder. He says, quote, she did not make me do it. She may have influenced it some, but it was a very poor decision on my part and I am sorry. He begins crying throughout his statement. You know, he's struggling to keep it together. And I think overall, this is probably one of the most sincere apologies that I think I've heard. Like, to go and say, I'm not worth you walking around hating. Like, I'm going to just sit here and I'm going to do my time. But don't you spend your time worrying about me. I know I deserve this and I'm going to do it. I ain't going to make no excuses. Like, because, this is the last time for somebody to make some excuses. Not at murder.
Oakley's family also said that it did seem like his apology was sincere, but even though it's a sincere apology, it doesn't take back what you did.
Right.
But I can appreciate a very sincere apology, especially when what you did was dead wrong.
Dead ass wrong. Oakley's daughter spoke at the sentencing and she said, quote, when they told me my father was murdered, I knew right away it was you. So it's giving, like, over time, Rashawn was there causing a disruption in the house. You know what
it
I mean?
It was. That was the thing. Their arguments were getting worse and worse. And I feel like the reason, because it only had been a couple of days and his family was up there looking for him. So it seems like he was in constant communication with him. And old white men don't have nothing to do but to tell you what's going on around the world and what's going on around the house. So I'm sure he was pretty vocal.
Mm-hmm. She said, and speaking of her dad, he tried to help the wrong people this time. And that's really unfortunate. And it's like, I think probably even if Vashon could have just did this on her own, they wouldn't have ended up in this situation. But you trying to carry a nigga who was supposed to be carrying you. Talking about he want to be a provider. Come move in with me, stupid ass. The judge goes on to tell the court that he considered the fact that Rayshawn had no criminal history and was clearly remorseful and said, quote, I hope you'll find some way to do good in prison. You committed a terrible act, but I also think you're a decent person. Your acts at the time were egregious, but you still have time to do positive work in prison. And he sentences Rayshawn to 50 years. Now, Mr. Mitchell's daughter, Darlene, says after the sentencing that she had hoped for a longer sentence, saying, I believe he's sorry, but that doesn't bring my dad back. She's not completely satisfied, but I think the judge is trying to give hope and positivity. And he split the baby in the middle. It's not the minimum of 45 years, but it's not 60 either. It's still a long-ass time. He ain't gonna do shit with the rest of his life. He might do shit in prison, but how old is he at this time?
He's gonna get out at 74.
You see what I'm saying?
And that man was 75 when you killed him.
Now, at this time, remember, Vashon, she was still holding on to her not guilty plea. They were actually gearing up for trial. Rayshawn was actually set to testify against Vashon at trial. And her trial was supposed to start on January 20th, 2015. And I guess the evidence started really mounting on her. And she saw how Rayshawn got charged and his plea deal and her plea deal was looking a little bit sweeter. And they were also like, you're sitting here with three counts of murder, first degree, I would like to add. If you just come with us and take this plea deal, we'll take off the murder charges and we'll just give you dismembering of a body and concealment of a homicidal death. And so the day before trial began, she was like, you know what? Is that plea still on the table? And they said, actually, it is. And she said, great, let's just go with it.
I know that's right. Because the last one fucked around and found out.
She was like, I'm just going to go with the plea. And he, yeah, Rayshawn plea, but he has a plea to murder. She didn't shoot the gun. She was hiding from him. Being charged with murder just wasn't right. And going to trial when you can just plead to what you actually did was dismemberment of a human body and concealment of a homicidal death. She decided to just do that. When Associate Judge Mitchell Stroh came across this case, they said, I just don't believe that Vashon was in fear for her life. There were multiple times when Vashon could have come forward and disclosed this murder. There are multiple times she could have gotten out of that situation and she didn't. My question is, did she come forward because of guilt or did she come forward because she was in fear of being caught? And I think that judge is wrong on multiple levels, my personal opinion. I think that she absolutely was in fear of her life. This man walking back and forth with the gun, waving it around, telling me what to do. Of course, I'm going to do what he says for me to do, especially the history that those two have had together, the controlling nature that he was. So I think the judge was wrong on that. And two, did I come forward because of guilt or fear? Neither one. I came forward because my grandma told me so. That's it. That's the reason why. Because
my grandma told me so.
That is it. On Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015, Vashon was officially sentenced. And at her sentencing hearing, she admitted a lot of things. And she apologized for her role in this crime. And she said one of the main things that she is guilty of is that she fell in love with a violent man. If you're wondering where her children are, her grandmother stepped in. That's how she knew who to go to. Her grandmother was taking care of her children while she was away. Now, she was sentenced to 18 years in prison, 14 years for the mutilation and 4 years for concealing the death. And I think she also had the ability to have a good behavior time knockoff day for day. She actually exited the prison walls on parole on February 22nd, 2021, and she's still out. She's on parole, and she is set to be on parole until February 22nd, 2024. Oh, she's off parole.
That's what I was saying. You said where her kids are. I was like, where they were, because she's out.
I was in the timeline. And so she got her kids from her grandma. Rayshawn, he is still in prison at the Menard Correctional Center. He will be there until August 2066. And that's why you make good choices, children.
Yeah, buddy.
That's why you make good choices. All right, y'all. It's time for...
Well, I'm not black. I'm OJ.
I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how I would have got away with it.
I ain't do it, but if I did, I'd have talked to grandma a lot sooner.
I ain't do it, but if I did, I would have never left my apartment to live with somebody's mama.
Good Lord, and the PJs. You can't
tell me we're going to save to buy a house, because with what money?
It's given she never been to his spot before.
That's what I'm thinking, because if he lived with his mom 3 hours away from where she was working, and they both worked together in that, you know, county, was he driving 3 hours to go to work? I don't think so. Where was that man living is my real, honest, and true question.
I'm telling you, it's giving. He ain't have an address.
And I'm sure he was at her apartment. I'm sure she was paying the rent, and he was just there because he had a place to go. He just didn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
This man didn't have a home. And then want to move you and two kids?
And you said yes. Sight unseen.
Come on now. That was step number one.
How y'all just letting y'all kids stay anywhere?
You could have got good money if you would have read. If you would have, it was only a couple months from the time that they moved into the time that they mm-hmm. murdered this man. And what really should have happened is Vashon should have figured out a way to get with the VA and get some money for what being this man's official CNA.
He got to work smarter, not harder.
And it should have just been you and them mm-hmm. kids.
Rayshawn and his mama could have figured it the fuck out.
Yeah, no. I ain't doing it, but if I did, I would have gone back and gotten the vehicle that broke down.
Dusty ass.
Gotta get that. I bet when you told grandma, so where's the car? The car is there. The car is at the crime scene right now. I'm sure her grandma was like, get fucking real.
I ain't do it, but if I did, I would know better than to burn a body and think it's going to be gone by the time I return the next day. You ain't even trying to keep cooking the hot spots or up the temperature. You just abandoned the fire.
That man probably has never been on a grill in his life.
You see what I'm saying?
About fires. He just saw it in a movie.
See what I'm saying? Niggas don't know shit.
Movies are not real, people. You'd be surprised all the little magic fake stuff that they do on set to make your movies look real. They're fake.
They're fake.
You can't do what they do in the movies.
Grow up, Peter Pan. Y'all have got to make better decisions behind these men. Y'all just be accepting anything.
And you almost became a... Oh, girl, you was close in here. I'm glad you decided to pull out of that trial last minute, because, baby, they would have ate you up just for fun.
Just for thinking you should have fought it.
And that's the sad part.
Mm-hmm.
Parole or no parole, she's out. Rayshawn, parole or no parole, you can stay in there, boo. You know what's going to be so funny is we've been dogging Rayshawn, but he's actually very handsome.
Let me see him.
He go on the source pages. His old pictures and his new and his current picture. He is very cute. He look like a little Marlon Santana for real, for real. The old picture does.
He needed to get it together.
But I know people gonna see it be like, oh damn, what he do? Girl, he murdered somebody. That's the end of the show for real. Make sure that you check out the things that we have going on. You can follow us anywhere. We have our merch store that is out. ShopSistersWhoKill.com. Amazing things. Let's read some reviews. Let's get out of here. Oh my God. This person redid their review from last week, the one star about the sound effects. They said, okay, y'all were right. The one star review was aggressive. I stand by what I said, but I'm proud of y'all, and y'all don't deserve one star. Because the people in the discussion group were like, I just want to talk. That's how I felt. I'm fine with getting constructive criticism. Y'all niggas be like, finally, something that I don't
listen.
Like. One star. Damn, you could just tell
niggas
me.
Niggas
like
never y'all left the review just... being like, ooh, I love this show. I love this show. And then be like, oh, I like that. Now's the time to leave a review. I used to like you guys, but now that I don't, now I'm going to say something.
That's just like, you know, my apartment complex. I plan on leaving a very negative Google review as soon as I move out. I just don't want you to touch my shit while I'm there.
But I can't touch their shit. I can't find you. I can't respond to your questions. I can't do nothing.
They got a forwarded address.
I can't. I'm talking about these people in a review. I can't respond to you. They'll ask a question in a review. You probably stop listening before you can hear the answer. You'd have been better off just emailing me.
Right.
They'd be like, I hate this show. Y'all did this and I don't understand. I'ma stop listening. Okay.
Okay.
I can't make you feel no better about it.
All right, this one is from Star Braids. It says, hey, y'all, I swear y'all are my best friends in my head. I listen to you guys every day. I love the way you both tell stories. Marah, I absolutely love your singing that comes out of nowhere. But
relates to whatever part of the story you're telling. Taz, I absolutely, positively love your voice as well as your laugh. It's intoxicating and really does something to me. I'm also a twin. I'm a janitor at a factory and I just be walking around.
Why is she just country?
Smiling. I'm a janitor at a factory and I just be walking around cleaning, smiling, laughing, gasping, and talking to y'all. I'm convinced my supervisor and coworkers think I'd be talking to myself and I'm crazy, LOL. It's very refreshing to listen to two black women who sound like me. I love the cussing and all the commentary. Keep up the great work, ladies.
Sound like her.
She can be black and country at the time.
That ain't how I sound.
Your country is also different from my country.
Yeah, it is, but it's a lot closer than that country.
What country she's from.
Yeah. I love that all these different states got their own different country. I feel like people from up north, they be like, oh, you country, like, howdy, like... It's levels to this shit, okay? I don't talk the same as I do in Tennessee and Atlanta or South Carolina. It's all a different twang.
Yep.
This one says, you guys are amazing and don't stop. Hey, I've been listening to you lovely ladies for a while now. Originally, I found you on TikTok. I love listening to y'all and feel at home. Something I want to say is don't let people who find things wrong discourage y'all from keeping going. Can't stop, won't stop. There's so many who love y'all and it outweighs the negative. Keep going. I love the singing and sound effects and jokes. That's what makes it real. I've gone back to the beginning and listened twice already. It's so amazing to see the growth. I know doing this is a lot of work and it's no easy task. I have so much respect for you ladies. And again, never give up. Thank you for helping me when I'm having a tough day. Much love from Imani. Honestly, people can have their opinions. It's not the opinions that bothers me. It just be, listen, she recognized it. She adjusted. I will take, what'd she do, a 4-star? A 3-star? I'll take it.
And everybody says what they want. Like, I don't sing as much. People still be like, I love it.
The sound effects are not OD. What I do know from the feedback that we've gotten is niggas love the sound effects. If one person don't like it, one monkey don't stop, no show. Hope you still enjoy it. But the majority is digging it. So we kept going with it. We based this all off of feedback that we were getting.
Listen, take your phones out wherever you are. Don't pause us. Go to shopsisterswhokill.com, shopsisterswhokill.com. Get you some merch. Get you a bucket hat. Get you some rolling papers so you can smoke with us. Get you a t-shirt. There are unisex sizes. People have been asking. You can get sizes. You can get between size small and 5X. We got you covered, okay?
Covered. All inclusive.
Get you a dad hat. Get you some stickers. Like, it's the time is nigh. Also... we are going to Nashville. Don't forget to tell yourself, tell somebody that we're going to Nashville.
Tell somebody it's the only thing you want all year. It's just tickets to go see us here. We actually get the pleasure of speaking at CrimeCon, so hope y'all can make that.
Can I tell our subject now?
Yes, she said it was fine, so you can share now.
Okay, and we have a very special topic, and I'm honestly honored to... We came up with this subject.
Exactly, right?
We came up with this subject on our own. But being able to stand on such a huge platform, our first time going to CrimeCon, I feel very honored that we are going to have this platform to talk about a very important issue in the true crime world. And that is us discussing the lack of diversity in true crime and why it is so important. We will be discussing how basically everything we talk about on the podcast, we will be discussing how cultural differences and how they affect how different situations are perceived. We know that black and brown people are offered less resources by the government. We also know how they are perceived differently by the government. We also know that white people that are detecting or trying to investigate what black families are doing, they have no idea our culture. How can you properly investigate me? So that is what we're talking about. I think it's going to be a great discussion. Our public speaking bag is actually really fun. Like, I think we do a good job talking.
Right? So, and half the time, we don't know what the fuck we're going to say. And we'd be like, damn, we killed that shit.
Yeah, but this time, we're going to have facts and statistics and be amazing.
Yeah, because I love facts and statistics.
That's right.
I was literally, as you was talking, I was like, okay, I need these facts. Like, I was literally thinking like of cases, all the statistics.
Cases to cross-reference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, damn, these girls really know their shit.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
If you want to come see us as well, this is like for the real deep true crime fans. Hit us up.
Sisters Who Kill, Sisters Who Kill Pod, Sisters Who Kill Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on TikTok. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on YouTube. You can follow us everywhere. You can follow us on Apple, Spotify, Google, Pandora, iHeart, wherever you are. So turn to your friend and say,
I told some people they can find us on Pandora. They was like, okay, I got Pandora. I was like, y'all old as fuck.
So turn to your neighbor and say, have you heard of Sisters Who Kill? And share us with a friend. Crime Con. Buy your tickets with the discount code SISTERS. Get some money off. Help the show.
Please.
And I think that's all. Anything else, friend?
Talk to us. We talk back.
Bye.
Bye.